Okay, Becky.
Charlie, I got several variations of this question, but this one comes from Peter Kerr in Waterloo, Canada. He says, could you please let us know a couple of the most important things you learned during the last year?
I'll let Charlie go first.
Well, I hate to admit this because I've ignored high tech all my life, but I actually read that book, In the Plex, about Google. And I found it a very interesting book. And so here I am at my advanced age, and I find it interesting the way people have created these engineering cultures, which are quite peculiar and different from most of what we have at Berkshire. And will I ever make any use of this? I doubt it. But I certainly enjoyed learning it. And if I enjoy learning it, I regard it as important because I think that's what you're here for, is to go to bed every night a little wiser than you were when you got up.
I'm just trying to hold my own, actually. No, what I learned in the last year is that I'm going to have Charlie write the next press release.
Warren, I approved that damn press release with no objections. The Berkshire shareholders are going to be in terrible trouble if they're relying on me to fix your errors.
Okay, let's go to number 11. Yeah. Getting too close to confession time up here.
Good afternoon, Warren and Charlie. My name's Phil Drew. And I'm here with my wife, Tina, and our good friends, Grummies and the Hendricksons. We're all from Indianapolis, and we're all small business people. So we are not too big to fail. And our question basically is simply this. Do either of you gentlemen think that we might be headed down the same type of path years from now when we get into a situation as taxpayers that we might have to bail out a company on Wall Street that is too big to fail? And if so, have we done anything to avert that?
Now, there are institutions around the world that I think governments should properly, although people won't like it, but I think that there are institutions around the world that governments would properly, I think bailout has got a little bit of a pejorative term on it in the sense that stockholders should not be saved, managers should not be saved, but certainly the institutions in some cases should not be allowed to collapse immediately. I mean, right now we're continuing to follow that policy, for example, with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. I mean, they have not reconstituted themselves as many of the banks and the auto companies. I mean, Chrysler is even paying back, which, you know, it surprises me, but my hat's off to them. I mean that sincerely, that I was really on the fence on saving the auto companies, but I think the administration did the right thing. I mean, they weren't saving the auto companies per se. They were still working at saving a very fragile economy. And like I say, and particularly in retrospect, they certainly, in my view, made the right decision. There are, you know, right now, you know, in Europe, they're deciding whether countries are too big to fail. And so I think that problem will always be with us. I think for that reason that you have to do things to reduce the propensity to fail. And among those things, I think you have to make it so that the CEO and to some extent the board, but not to the draconian degree that I'll suggest for the CEO, I think that any institution that requires society to come and bail it out for society's sake should have a system in place that leaves their CEO basically and his spouse dead broke. Because I think that the upside and downside incentives are vastly different. And I think the board of directors of those institutions should suffer a severe penalties, nothing like that. But they certainly, you know, should give back the last, say, 5 years of directors' fees or whatever it may be that they've received. Because they, if you run an institution that actually needs the society can suffer such a blow if you fail. The society needs to come in and save you. You ought to have somebody running that institution, and you ought to have incentive practices in place that make it very, very, very painful to the people involved for the failure, if it indeed happens. And you also ought to reduce leverage in the system, and I think we've gone to some degree in that direction. But there will be too big to fail institutions 10 years from now or 20 years from now. Right now, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are sort of too big to figure out. You know, we just sit there and incidentally, there's nothing wrong with that. It's more important to come up with the right solution than it is to come up with an immediate solution on those. But particularly, I would say, in Europe, there are banking institutions in countries that people are facing the question of whether they are too big to fail. Charlie?
Well, my answer is that the past panics and depressions, by and large, started on Wall Street or in stock brokerage. They tended to involve great waves of excessive speculation and bad behavior in the people who were profiting from those waves as salesmen or market makers or promoters or what have you. And I think that this last mess, which created so much danger, should have caused something like happened in the aftermath of the 30s, where we prevented a new mess for a long, long time. But of course, it hasn't done that. And so I think you can confidently expect a new mess or two before your career is over. And I think it is really stupid for our country to have allowed this. Partly the failure is not one of evil, it's one of stupidity. And part of the stupidity is in our great academic institutions, who believe a whole lot of things that aren't true. And that is a really hard problem to solve.
You're talking about particularly in finance.
Yes, of course. Yeah. And economics, too.
Yeah.
No, those are not hard sciences, finance and economics. And finance really attracts people who should have gone into snake charming or...
If there's anybody we've forgotten to insult, just pass a note up and we'll get to you.